Okay, so let's unpack this. It is February 2026, and if you've been paying any attention at all to the gaming world, or really just the tech world in general, the ground is absolutely shaking right now.
Oh yeah, it's a massive shift.
We aren't just talking about the usual stuff either, like a new PlayStation console or a slightly faster graphics card. We're talking about a fundamental identity crisis for the entire medium.
It really is a watershed moment
All right.
because for the last 15 years or so, the conversation has basically been about tools. You know, how do we make the hammer better? How do we make the chisel sharper? But now the conversation has completely shifted to whether we even need the sculptor at all.
Right. And at the absolute center of this storm is Unity Technologies. I mean, for over a decade, their slogan was practically tattooed on the industry. It was democratize game development. The promise was always that they would make the engine accessible so that you, the person listening to this right now, could learn to code and essentially build your dream game.
Exactly. But what is happening right now, according to the reports we have in front of us, effectively rewrites that entire slogan. It isn't about helping you learn to code anymore.
No, not at all.
It's about removing the coding process entirely for a massive segment of the market. Unity has moved from democratizing tools to what they are now officially calling AI-driven authoring.
And this is the big reveal. The headline from the report is that the barrier to entry has gone from learning C sharp or understanding complex vector math to simply typing a sentence. The promise is that you can type a text prompt, just like we've been doing with chatbots for a few years now, and generate a fully playable compiled game. You type it and you get it.
That is the claim. And whether you're a hardcore gamer or someone who works in tech or just someone interested in the creative economy, you really need to pay attention to this because we are shifting from a paradigm of skill-based creation to prompt engineering.
Totally. So today we are doing a deep dive into a report titled Unity's AI Pivot, The Future of Prompt-Based Game Development. And we're pairing that with some really sharp technical analysis from the Tech and Analysis Lab.
Some great insights in that lab report.
Yeah, it's packed. So our mission for this deep dive is pretty straightforward, but the implications are heavy. We need to figure out, is this a technological miracle that finally lets anyone make their dream game? Or are we looking at the beginning of a soulless era for entertainment where content is just churned out by machines?
It's the classic quantity versus quality debate, but honestly, on a scale we haven't seen before.
Right. So let's start with the user experience, the promise, as the report calls it. I want to paint a picture for you listening. You're sitting at your computer, you open Unity, and instead of that intimidating gray interface with a million tiny buttons and a blank 3D grid, you just get a text box.
A simple, unassuming cursor.
Exactly. You type in something like build a mobile game where a robot jumps over static laser obstacles, make the style neon cyberpunk. You hit enter. And the claim is you don't just get a piece of concept art. You get an APK file. You get an iOS file. It's ready to play.
It sounds like magic. And honestly, the user interface is designed to feel like magic. But if we look under the hood, and this is where the tech and analysis gets really fascinating, it is actually a very complex multimodal architecture.
Multimodal meaning it's using different types of AI systems together.
Right. It's not just one giant AI brain doing everything. It's more like a construction crew where nobody actually talks to each other directly.
Okay, walk us through that. How does a sentence about a cyberpunk robot become a playable video game?
Well, it breaks down into a chain of events. First, you have the natural language processing layer, or NLP. When you type that prompt about the robot and the lasers, the NLP breaks it down into logic
Like
blocks.
translating human English into game logic.
Precisely. It identifies that movement equals platformer. It sees enemy and equates that to static laser. Visuals equal neon cyberpunk. It's basically making a shopping list for the game engine.
So it categorizes your request into established game mechanics?
Exactly. Then it branches out. For the visuals, it uses diffusion models, which is very similar to what we've seen with image generators for a while, to apply textures and art to 3D objects or 2D sprites on the fly. That's how you get that neon look. But the really tricky part, and this is where it gets highly technical, is the code itself.
Because writing code is fundamentally not the same as drawing a picture.
Right. I mean, if a picture has a weird pixel, nobody really notices or cares. If code has a missing semicolon, nothing works. The entire application crashes. So the system doesn't actually write physics from scratch, doesn't sit there and calculate gravity equations line by line.
Okay, so what is it doing?
It pulls from a massive database of prefabs and standard scripts. Unity has millions of lines of existing code in its library. The AI extracts these pre-written blocks, like a jump script here or an enemy behavior script there, and it just adjusts the variables to match your prompt.
Got it.
And then finally, it automates the compilation to snap all these digital Legos together into a final executable file.
So it's essentially snapping together really complex pre-made parts very, very quickly.
That's a good analogy. It's like a meal kit service.
Yeah.
The AI isn't growing the vegetables or butchering the meat, right? It's grabbing the prepackaged bags, throwing them in the pot, and stirring it. But here is the reality check, and the report emphasizes this heavily.
Oh.
Generating an image is a static process, but a video game is a dynamic mathematical system. The source material warns that while the output might look like a game on the surface, it is often a static generation trying desperately to mimic a dynamic system.
Which definitely hints at some quality issues we're going to get to in a minute. But before we get to the is it good question, we have to ask why. Why is Unity doing this? I mean, this is the engine that powered huge indie darlings like Hollow Knight and Cuphead. They were the heroes of the independent developer. Why pivot away from the exact people who made them famous?
To understand this pivot, you really have to look back at the runtime fee crisis.
Oh, right. The pricing disaster. I remember the internet just exploding over that.
It was a strategic blunder of historic proportions. Unity tried to change their pricing model to charge developers a literal fee for every single time a game was installed. That decision completely decimated trust. Professional developers, the people making those hits like Hollow Knight, migrated in droves to open source engines like Godot and Unreal.
So the pros just left the building.
They did. And the analysis suggests that Unity has basically stopped begging them to return. They realize that bridge is burned, so they are pivoting to a completely new market. They aren't targeting hardcore programmers anymore. They are targeting marketers, teachers, and just average everyday users.
That is a huge shift in demographics.
Mm-hmm.
Going from software engineers to ad agencies.
It is entirely a defensive economic strategy.
Yeah.
The report describes a scenario where a beverage company wants a summer campaign game. In the old days, they would hire a studio, spend 6 months and maybe $50,000 to get it done.
Right, a whole production pipeline.
Exactly. But now, the marketing manager just types a prompt to generate an advert game in 5 minutes for the cost of a monthly subscription.
So it's about corporate survival. They are democratizing game creation, not for these struggling artists, but for the marketing departments.
That is certainly one way the data can be interpreted. It's a major shift from enabling art to enabling mass consumption.
Which brings us perfectly to the sole problem. The source material mentions that the reaction from actual indie developers to this tech has been, and I'm quoting here, smirks, mockery, and fury. If the tool actually works, though, why are they so mad? You know, aside from the business and pricing stuff.
It really comes down to a concept called game feel. This is something I find fascinating because it highlights the exact difference between software engineering and art.
Game feel. What does that mean exactly? Is it just about graphics looking nice?
No, it's all the invisible stuff. The report gives some great specific examples. Take hang time, for instance. That is the split second pause a character makes at the very top of a jump before they start falling back down.
I know that feeling. It's like Mario defying gravity for just a millisecond so you can land on a platform.
Exactly. If you programmed a jump strictly by real-world physics, the character would go up and immediately come down in a perfect mathematical parabola. It would feel heavy and totally uncontrollable. Human game developers actually cheat physics to make it feel good to the player.
That makes a lot of sense.
Or take Coyote Time. That's another great example from the analysis.
Like Wile E. Coyote running off a cliff and hanging in the air.
Right. You know when you walk off a ledge in a 2D platformer and the game gives you a tiny window, maybe just a tenth of a second, where you can still hit the jump button even though you are technically walking on thin air?
Yeah, it saves you from falling to your death when you thought you timed it perfectly but you were a pixel too late.
But that's purely a feel mechanic. If you program strictly by logic, which is what the AI tends to do, the player falls immediately the moment they leave the ledge and it feels incredibly unfair. Humans manually tune these values. Hang time, coyote time, screen shake on impact. They tune them to create an emotional response.
And the AI doesn't do that.
No. The verdict from the sources is that AI output is highly mechanical and plastic. A machine understands the code required to make an object jump on screen, but it fundamentally doesn't understand why a jump feels fun to a human being.
It lacks the final polish, the human touch.
It lacks the soul. It creates a functional simulation, but not necessarily an enjoyable experience. The report compares it to the difference between a MIDI file playing piano notes perfectly on beat and a human concert pianist playing with actual emotion and slight imperfections.
So we have the potential for millions of these technically functional but potentially soulless games. Let's talk about the impact of that on the broader ecosystem, because the report uses the phrase economic tsunami. That does not sound good for the app stores.
No, it doesn't. We are already dealing with a massive amount of noise on platforms like Steam and Google Play. But the real fear outlined here is that this tool will lead to an absolute apocalypse of asset flips.
Asset flips. For those who don't know, that's where you take pre-made stuff from a store and just slaps together to make a quick buck, right?
Yes, but imagine that concept on an industrialized scale. The source warns of bad actors and scammers using automated bots to connect directly to Unity's new API. They could theoretically generate tens of thousands of games every single day.
Just spamming the store.
Entirely. The AI generates the game, the icon, the SEO metadata, the promotional screenshots, everything without human intervention.
That is terrifying. If you are a real developer who just spent 3 years making a beautiful handcrafted game, how do you even get seen in that mess?
You don't. That is what the report calls the discoverability crisis. For genuine developers, discoverability could drop to near zero. You are just drowning in a sea of AI garbage.
And the business model for these AI games, I assume it's not about selling a $20 masterpiece.
No, it's rooted in hyper-casual economics, rapid production, low quality, and heavy ad monetization. If the cost to produce a game drops from tens of thousands of dollars to literal cents, you don't need the game to be good. You just need 1 in 1,000 to accidentally go viral on social media. Or you just need to serve enough unskippable ads across 10,000 bad games to make a tidy profit.
But it really is the fast fashion of the gaming world. Use it once, throw it away.
That's a very apt comparison. It creates a disposable culture around what used to be a very respected craft.
Okay, let's pivot to the legal side of things.
Yeah.
Because whenever we talk about generative AI, we have to talk about ownership. Let's say I am that marketing manager. I type that prompt, robot cyberpunk lasers. The game generates, and by some miracle, it becomes a massive hit.
Yeah.
Do I own that game?
This is where the situation gets really legally fraught. The report cites the U.S. Copyright Office, or USCO, and their stance has been pretty consistent over the last few years. Works created exclusively by AI are not eligible for copyright protection.
Wait, so if the AI builds all the code and generates all the art,
then the game is effectively in the public domain the moment it is created.
So I prompt a hit game, put it on the App Store, and
a rival studio can legally download your game copy, the exact code, because remember, code is just text, and publish it on the same store under their own name. And you have absolutely no legal recourse. You can't sue them because you don't own the copyright to the generated assets.
That is a massive loophole. You're basically building a house on land you don't own.
Precisely. And that is just the legal trap. The analysis also points out a technical trap that I think is even more immediate for the average user. They call it the QA nightmare.
QA meaning quality assurance, bug fixing.
Right. Remember earlier how we said the AI pulls from different scripts and prefabs to build the game? The resulting code is often described as spaghetti code. It's a tangled, illogical mess. It works technically, but the logic flow is totally chaotic.
So what happens if the game crashes?
That is the black box problem. Let's go back to our marketer. You made your beverage campaign game, but then users start reporting that it crashes on a specific older Android phone due to a memory leak. You go back into the engine to fix it, but you don't know how to code. You are a prompt engineer.
And even if you did know how to code, looking at the AI spaghetti code would be like trying to read a novel where every chapter was written by a different author in a different language.
Exactly. There is no human architect who actually understands the overall logic flow of the software. The project becomes, as the source directly puts it, unfixable trash. You can generate it in 5 minutes, but you are completely powerless to maintain or patch it.
That sounds incredibly frustrating. It really is disposable software through and through.
Which brings us back around to the human element of all this. Because clearly, human expertise is still needed here somewhere.
Right. There's a whole section in the report about the ethics of how this was built. Where did the AI even learn to code in the first place?
Well, it certainly didn't go to college. It was trained on massive amounts of scraped data. The AI models ingested terabytes of data from GitHub, the Unity Asset Store, and various developer forums across the web.
So the indie developers who are furious right now,
yeah,
they are furious because their own work was used to train the machine that is now actively trying to replace them in the market.
That is exactly why they feel so betrayed. The report calls it an ethical black hole. These developers shared their knowledge to help the community. They posted solutions on forums, they shared open source code snippets. And now that collective labor is being sold back to them, or rather sold to marketers, to automate them out of the casual gaming market.
That's a tough pill to swallow. And hearing all this, the legal issues, the public domain loopholes, the spaghetti code, the ethical mess, I have to ask the question that I know a lot of students are probably asking right now. If I am in school learning C# today, am I just wasting my time? Is coding dead?
The expert analysis here is actually very reassuring on that front. The answer is absolutely not. In fact, the source argues that the bar for programmers has simply been raised.
How so? If the AI can write the code, why raise the bar?
Because AI can only handle the simple stuff reliably. It can do the basic Hello World scripts. It can make a generic 2D platformer. But Unity has been simultaneously introducing incredibly complex architectures behind the scenes. Things like DOTS, which stands for Data-Oriented Technology Stack, and ECS. These are high-performance systems that require intense, high-level engineering to manage thousands of objects on screen at once.
So the AI can easily make a Flappy Bird clone, but it can't engineer a massive, optimized open-world simulation like an Elden Ring or a Grand Theft Auto.
Exactly. The role of the programmer is shifting fundamentally. You aren't just typing basic syntax anymore. You are becoming an architect and a supervisor of the AI. You are the one who has to come in and untangle that spaghetti code when it breaks. You are the one who has to optimize memory management because the AI is notoriously inefficient at it.
So the entry-level code typist might be facing obsolescence, but the high-level software engineer is arguably more valuable than ever.
That is the consensus of the analysis, yes. You need a human mind to break the engine's inherent limitations. The AI strictly operates within the box it was trained on. The human engineer is required to think outside of that box.
It's fascinating. It really seems like we are ending up with two very divergent gaming worlds. On one side, you have this infinite flood of AI-generated, disposable, hyper-casual content. And on the other, you have these high-end, meticulously handcrafted human experiences.
It is a complete bifurcation of the industry. The double-edged sword, as the report summarizes it. Unity's new tool lowers the barrier to entry to essentially zero. That is an undeniable fact. It allows literally anyone with an idea to see it come to life on a screen.
Yeah.
And there's something genuinely cool about that accessibility.
Sure. I mean, if I just want to make a goofy little game for my kid's birthday party, I can do it now. I don't care about the copyright, and I don't care if the code is a mess under the hood.
Right. But the cost of that accessibility is this looming existential threat to authenticity, legal security, and the simple ability for genuine artists to be discovered by an audience.
It really is the ultimate battle between mass consumption and art. Quantity versus quality.
And honestly, the market is the only thing that will eventually decide how that battle ends.
That is the big unknown question, isn't it?
It is. And source material leaves us with a really provocative thought to chew on regarding that. And I want you listening to really think about this next time you're endlessly scrolling through the App Store looking for something to play.
Lay it on us.
The question the report poses is this. Would you be willing to spend your actual time or your hard-earned money on a game that was generated by an AI in 5 minutes?
That is the real test. If we as players know it took zero human effort to create down, do we actually value the experience of playing it?
And does it hold our attention? Or do we just scroll right past it like we do with so much generated content on our feeds these days?
That is a lot to think about. We're going to leave it right there for this deep dive. As always, thank you so much for listening. And a big thanks to the Tech and Analysis Lab for providing the underlying data for today's discussion.
Always a pleasure to look at the future of tech, even when it gets a little messy.
See you next time.